I've been doing the series entitled What the Preacher Won't Tell You. And as you can see on the slide on the screen, the first part I already preached was about the origin of the book of Daniel. The second part, what the preacher won't tell you about the foundation of the book of Daniel. The third part is about the Antichrist of the book of Daniel. And last week, the fourth part was about the second witness of the book of Daniel. Today, we're going to have part five, which is entitled about the hero of the book of Daniel. Yes, what the preacher won't tell you about the hero of the book of Daniel, it will astound you. I know many of you are familiar with the word Talmud. Talmud is a huge volume of writing by the rabbis to try to improve on the Torah. And it's made up of two different parts. The whole thing is called the Talmud. But it's made of the Mishnah, which is in that middle section, and of the Gemara, which is on the side section. And listen to this. There is an ancient rabbinical curse in the Talmud. And the ancient rabbinical curse says, may the bones of the hands and the bones of the fingers decay and decompose of him who turns the pages of the book of Daniel to find out the time of Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And may his memory rot from off the face of the earth forever. Did you get that? An ancient rabbinical curse in the Talmud forbids people to read Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Why? What are they trying to hide? The 70-week prophecy, the greatest proof of Jesus as the Messiah, is found in those verses. And we're going to look at that today. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, I want to thank you for each and every person who's come today. And I know it's not by accident, chance, coincidence, Lord. It's providence. As we have been seeing these incredible presentations from you, Lord, on what the rest of the Christianity is missing and the people are not hearing. Please, let the peace of heaven rest on this congregation. Please, let us hear and let the Spirit move on our hearts and minds to understand. And please, Lord, use me in spite of the fact that I'm a sinful, erring man in need of a Savior. So reveal yourself now to all of us. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Daniel, the ninth chapter. Daniel, the ninth chapter. And we are going to read verses 24, 25, 26, 27. What the preacher won't tell you about the hero of the book of Daniel. Okay, you got Daniel 9? Okay, verse 20. Here's what it says. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Now, before we go 24, 25, 26, 27, where the rabbinical curse was referring to, I want you to notice these facts. First of all, from this point on in Daniel 9, Gabriel, the highest angel in heaven, is the speaker. Okay, don't miss that. In fact, we discovered going through this series that angels appeared in Daniel 7. Then we discovered not only were there angels in Daniel 8, Gabriel by name, but Jesus was there. And now we're going to Daniel 9 and Gabriel's back. He is the one now who's going to speak to us. God didn't leave this up to man. It came from heaven. Number two, what comes next relates to the 2300-day prophecy. You know, if you just look at what it says. It says in verse 21, Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning. Well, in Daniel 9, there's no vision, folks. What vision are you talking about? Daniel 8. And then notice, if you would, verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come to give you skill and understand. Skill to understand. Okay, why did I read that to you? Because Daniel 8 ended with, and I know understood it. I didn't understand it. And the big one is the last verse, 23. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come. By the way, if Gabriel, the highest angel, showed up, who commanded him to come? Only God. Couldn't be any other angel. Hey, Gabriel, I got a good idea. Why don't you get down there? No, it was God. Gabriel, come here. My servant doesn't understand. Get back down there. For you are greatly beloved, Gabriel said. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. So now we see that 8 and 9 go together. And now Gabriel speaks. Oh, I got to finish this. It deals with the city, God's people, and the Messiah. The next three verses. The city, God's people, and the Messiah. And I'm pretty sure I forgot to erase number 4. Okay. Doesn't belong there. Verse 24. Are you ready? Gabriel says, Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy place. This verse sets the stage for the next three verses. Now remember, the rabbinic curse includes verse 24. And here's what Gabriel says. Make sure you catch this. Gabriel says, Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city. Do you remember what I said to you? I said that that vision dealt with the city, God's people, and we're going to see the Messiah. And so he said, 70 weeks, Gabriel, which is 490 days/years, are given to, I wrote, his people Israel, to do things. Are you with me? All right. Now, before I go on, you're going to say, okay, well, how do we know that 70 weeks, which is 490 days, is really 490 years? And that's really simple. And that's because all the commentators understand that what comes next in the next three verses could not have possibly been done in 490 days. Couldn't be done. It must stand 4 years. Okay? So there's the year-day principle being taught right there from one verse, and everybody agrees with it. All right? A. You're going too slow. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. 490 years at some starting point is going to be given, Daniel, to your people to get their act together. That's what he said. Now let's put ourselves in here. See, you always know when Satan's mad. I'm sorry. We've got to get our act together, folks. You know? Youth Rush is here. Thrive is here. Young people that put me to shame when I see their commitment to God and the work of God. God sent them here to help us because we've got to get our act together. He gave the Israelites 490 years. And he said, I want you to accomplish six things. And by the way, just so you know, those six things will be accomplished by Jesus and nobody else. But he uses men. And so therefore, verse 25 says this. Gabriel goes on and says, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto what? Messiah the Prince. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls even in troublous times. So, we see that part A of verse 25 says, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. If we can figure out the starting date, then we can look and see what happened 483 years later. Notice, this isn't 70 weeks, it's 69 weeks. And so part A of Daniel 25 tells us about the Messiah. But take a look at part B. Part B of the same verse says, the street shall be built again and the walls even in troublous times. So in verse 25, we see the first part is about the Messiah. The last part of that very same verse is about the city of Jerusalem. Gabriel goes on, 26, and after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war desolations are determined. Now don't panic, okay? So, we discovered in Daniel 9:26a, it talks about what? The Messiah. Hey, that's what we found in the previous verse, didn't we? This time it says, and after 62 weeks, okay, Now they dropped off the 7, but we know the 62 weeks is after the 69 years, weeks, 483 years. At the end of 483 years, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Let's take a look at B. And what does it say? It says, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it will be with a flood until the end of the war desolations are determined. Who's that? The people of the prince. Who is that? Has to be Rome. Why? Because part A of the previous verse was about the Messiah. Part B was about the city. And now we're in the second verse. Part A is about the Messiah. So therefore, part B has to be about the city. So, the people of the prince who are to come is the armies of Rome. And they destroyed the city. Okay, I'll pull it together. Hang in there with me. Let's go to the next verse, because Gabriel says in verse 27, the last one, then he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Okay, so let's take a look. Part A of the third verse that was quoted to Daniel by Gabriel. Then he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall cause an end to the sacrifices and offering. Who is the he? You said Jesus? Has to be. Why? Because of the literary structure that Daniel wrote what the angel told him. A, B, A, B, A, B. The first part is always about the Messiah. Those of you who were brave enough to say Jesus are way beyond the rest of Christianity that believes that he is either the Antichrist in the future or Antiochus Epiphanes in the past. Let me say that again. The majority of the Christians are being told that he in this verse refers to either Antiochus Epiphanes in the past, the 200 BC, or it refers to the Antichrist, which isn't here yet, who's coming in the future. And the last verse, the last half of that verse says, and on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And by the way, I checked it. In the Hebrew, the word desolate, the last word, can also be translated desolator. It means, in the end, the one causing all of this will get his. You got it? Are you with me? A, B, A, B, A, B. And so we know that this is about the Messiah. The rabbinical curse tells us it's about the Messiah, but all of Christianity thinks it's either the Antichrist who puts an end of sacrifices. He stops them in the future. Or it was Antiochus Epiphanes when he closed the temple in Israel in 200 BC. Actually, it was 164 BC. And they totally missed the structure. AB, AB, AB. Now I want to talk about Hippolytus really quick. I can't believe where the time goes. Last week he was the hero. Hippolytus in the year 200, the 3rd century AD, saw clearly that 2, 7, and 8 of Daniel are parallel. But now we get to Daniel 9, and Hippolytus, like all the other commentators, said this must be years. But he also said he's believed to be the first to have projected the 70th week into the future from the 69 weeks to begin separately after a gap. It's called a gap. Just before the second coming. The dispensationalists, let me help you here. The dispensationalists, I put that slide in the wrong place. A, B, A, B, A, B. The dispensationalist interpretation, the last week, has been moved ahead to the end of time. No other time prophecy in the book of Daniel has a gap. No other. And there's no intimation here from Gabriel or in chapter 10, 11, or 12 that there's a gap. But the vast majority of Christian expositors today believe that the 69 weeks stopped back there in the time of Jesus appearing or death. But the 70th week isn't till the future when the Antichrist shows up at the end of time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they don't see Jesus in verse 27. And by the way, they don't see Jesus in verse 26 either. The hero of the book is missed and lost because people have accepted false theories. And the Seventh-day Adventists know the right answer. How did we get to that? Oh, yeah. The historical critical interpretation. The Messiah is Cyrus. Get this. Verse 25, the Messiah is Cyrus. And by the way, the Bible does call him the shepherd and the Messiah because he let God's people go. But he just referred to Cyrus in that way because of that one historical event. Cyrus was not the Messiah, the prince. They teach that Cyrus was the Messiah of verse 25, then followed 62 weeks, and that takes us to the high priest Onias I, who was murdered by Antiochus Epiphanes, and the rededication of the temple desecration by Antiochus Epiphanes took place in the middle of the last week in the past. The two major theories believed by Christians today do not recognize our precious hero of the book of Daniel. What won't the preacher tell you? He will not tell you that the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel 9, 24 and 27 is the greatest proof that Jesus is the Messiah. And look what Satan has done. Here's what Satan has done. To hold the people in darkness and impenitence till the Savior's mediation is ended and there's no longer a sacrifice for sin is the object he seeks to accomplish. Now let me embellish that. I'm done and I'm leaving. And by the way, we're not done with church yet. We got the offering, the closing hymn. The other Christians do not understand the importance of the sanctuary. By the way, these are godly people. Some of them really love the Lord, but they're not hearing what you're hearing. And so because of that, they don't know that Jesus is ministering for the final time in the heavenly sanctuary as our high priest, and we need to get our act together so that when he comes, he can take us home. And to hold the people in darkness, Satan has succeeded so bad that most of the Christians believe in a rapture theory They believe in the gap theory, and the intellectual eggheads think that it was all in the past, Antiochus Epiphanes, and right there in early writings, not Ellen White early writing, we see that the rabbinical curse called it right. You remember the rabbinical curse? May the bones of the hands and the bones of the finger decay and compose of the person who turns the pages of the book of Daniel to find out the time of Daniel 9:24-27, and may his memory rot from off the face of the earth forever. And so now you know the hero of the book of Daniel. And many of our brothers, sisters who love the Lord do not know because they're not being told. Father in heaven, I pray for each and every person who's here that they ponder these thoughts. I know, Father, that these four simple verses can sound very complex. But when they sit down and look at them, they will clearly see that it's talking about you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and what will happen to your people if they do not accomplish the six things that were written there. Lord, I pray for each one who's here that they would see your beauty and we would all surrender to you and help other people, good people, people who are at home, depressed, lonely, fearful, anxious, they're addicted, and they're wondering, is there something else? We got to get there, Lord, before it's too late. Help us to see this, for we have the privilege of the grandest and most glorious privileges and of understandings of prophecy. And we need to share it with others. So bless to this end and continue to bless the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.